back to the book of Exodus and Hebrew. The book of Exodus, of course, comes from the Greek word Exodus, which means the way out or the road out. The Hebrew name for the book is We Elei Shemot. We and Elei these names, Shemot. And these names is talking about the names of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. Now I want to read these verses to you here from verse number 24 onward. Let's go back up just a little bit and start with number 21, and then we'll read to the end of the chapter. And then we'll go back and look at the Hebrew words and study the Hebrew language and the Hebrew Bible there. And verse number 21, you shall not wrong a stranger, a pilgrim. You shall not oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now the word Egypt in Greek is Egyptos. That's where we get our word Egypt. But in Hebrew, do you remember what the name of Egypt is, the Hebrew name?
Mitzrayim.
Mitzrayim, which means the land of red mud and canal banks, because it was an irrigated country. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. I want you to understand that. Now, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child, an orphan. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry unto me at all, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children shall be fatherless or orphans. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I will kill you. I will make your wives widows. And I will make your children orphans if you mistreat a widow or an orphan. In America, we have elder abuse. And we have child abuse. And all of these different things here. But so many times in America, as we did here, a couple of years ago when we contracted to buy this home here, the people took advantage of us. Marilyn was very ill, and we had to be in a home soon. And they took advantage of us and did a lot of damage to the home, and their contractor never finished the job. We are in the home. It's never been finished to this day. But under this edict right here, this man is in a lot of trouble with God. These men are, literally. Now, we're old people, and people like to take advantage of older people. Today, you get telemarketer phone calls how often? How often do you get a telemarketer phone call, and how often do you get a scam call? Nearly every day. Mm-hmm. Oh, too many times. There are scams. There are people trying to get into your bank account, all this kind of stuff, and they're preying on elderly people many times. Now, this message is right directly to them today. Now, here we go in the banking situation. And I want to explain a little bit to you about that also. If you lend money to any of my people, the children of Israel, my people with you who is poor, you shall not be to him a creditor. You should be like a father to him. You should be like a mother. You should be like a brother or a companion. Neither shall you require interest from him. Now, how many of you know what Sharia law is out there? Sharia law. Now, in Sharia law, they borrowed a little bit from the Bible and a little bit from this verse here. Now, if a bank is Sharia compliant, that means that they will not be able to charge any Muslim interest. Remember that. So somebody else has to pay more interest. I want you to understand some things that the banks and the what we might call the financial industry and organizations in America. I want you to look back and tell me historically when banks quit paying interest on savings accounts. Now, when I was young, and when Marilyn was young, a person could put money in the bank and you could get interest and you could retire with that interest. You could if you put enough money in the bank. But not since Mr. George Bush Jr. The 9/11 war we got into was right under his nose. He went after the wrong people. We know very well who financed all of that was Saudi Arabia, but that was his business partners. And for 20 years we have been in a war. 20 years. What was done to us was wrong. We were attacked. But you don't go attack Mexico when Canada did it. That's wrong. Everybody will, God's children, God's people all over the world cry for justice. They cry all over the world for justice. And this is a cry for justice, and it's a statement by the God of heaven that says, I will kill you, I will make your wives widows, and I will make your children orphans. If you ever take your neighbor's garment in pledge, you shall give it back to him before the sun goes down. And his garment, his coat. You remember back there, we will look in the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is wrapper. Now, I'm wearing a JCPenney suit tonight. But if I'd have been in Abraham's day, I would have had a wrapper on. In other words, the cloth would have just gone around. His garment would have just been wrapped around me. That's all. All of the banking industry was all turned against us. The pharmaceuticals started gaining great power during Mrs. Bush's reign. That's when you started seeing all this advertisement on television. That's when you didn't see any post office boxes in your neighborhood anymore. Just think about what happened during that period of time. A lot of bad things that happened before. We've had a lot of bad presidents, but boy, he's one of them. A corrupt individual, a corrupt family. A corrupt family for 150 years. That have taken advantage of people for all of those years. You don't have to be a bad Republican or a bad Democrat. Either side, both sides can be bad. It seems like a little more liable to be the Democrats bad than Republicans, but we've had some bad Republicans, people. Also, especially when the party began. If you ever take your neighbor's garment and pledge, you shall give it back to him before nightfall, because that is also his garment was also his blanket. For that is his only covering. His covering for his body, and what shall he sleep? When he cries to me, I will hear him, and I am gracious and I am merciful, but I won't be merciful to you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that the judges, the lawyers, and the lawmakers are going to have the greatest judgment of all the people. Mm-hmm. They will be judged harder than all the people because they are over people. Mm-hmm. And they will be taken to task by God himself. You shall not revile God. The judges, his agents, are esteemed lightly or curse the ruler of your people. You shall not delay to bring me the fullness of your harvested grain and the outflow of your grape juice and your olive oil. Give to me the firstborn of your sons to redeem them. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. 7 days the firstborn beast shall be with its mother, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men, consecrated to me. Therefore you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beast in the field, and you shall throw it to the dogs. Powerful message, isn't it? A powerful message for the rulers of the lands to hear today, for the judges and the lawyers to hear, for the scallywags on their cell phones calling you to tell you that you're going to go to jail because some IRS is after you or something. The wonderful scallywags and entrepreneurs to dispose the elderly of their money, what they have earned all of their lives. Now let's go back to the Hebrew and let's look at some of these things. We got an idea of what's going on around us now, don't we? Im keseth talwe eth ami eth hi ani imak lo se ye lo se ye, that's a hard word, se ye lo kenoshe lo tesamun Allah Neshek. Now the cross references of all this, I mean there's a lot of cross references to this. Leviticus 25, 35 through 37, Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 11, Deuteronomy 23, 19 through 20, Nehemiah 5 and 7, Psalm 15 and 5, and Ezekiel 18 and 8. If silver you shall keep on lending to my people. Bankers, beware. That's all I got to say. Bankers, beware. Scallywags. Investment companies, beware. I know people, elderly people, that lost every dime that they had in this world and had to go back to work because of bad investments by investors. Making bad investments and charging them for making those bad investments and then said, oh, I'm sorry, but it's all gone. Doris Day, her husband had an investor, and that investor invested her money poorly, and she lost everything she had and had to go back to work and try to recover what she had. Et ami, my people, et hi ani, the poor, with you, not you shall keep on becoming to him a lending one, and not you shall keep on him charging him interest. Don't do that. Don't rape and pillage the poor. It seems like our banking industry today is to keep the poor poor. They want you to invest in their big investments so they don't have to risk their money. And then when you lose everything you've got, they say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because you had to lend it, you had to put it in their investments. They're keeping all their money. They're making interest on you on every way you can think of in the world today. Think about this now. Just think about when it happened, when it got worse. And we're at the epitome of worse right now. Yema Shavol, Chashbol, Salmoth, Rieka, Ad, Ba, Ha, Shemesh. Cheshe vinu lo. If to bind, you shall come people on buying the outer robe. If the outer robe, if the wrapper that you take in a pledge for a poor man, everything he's got is tied up. One time, a long time ago, when I was fighting for my daughter's life, I had an attorney try to take advantage of me. He tried to take my home. He tried to attach everything I had. And I called him on the carpet, biblically. After a few months, he apologized to me and said, "I'm sorry, I was doing wrong." He repented. He had done that to several people before me, but I called him on the carpet because of these verses right here. I called him on the carpet. You remember that, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. He called me and apologized to me and asked me, please forgive him, and I didn't owe him anything because he already got more than what he earned. The outer garment. He wanted to take the house over my head. You shall not take the outer wrapper, the garment, the clothing, the bed clothing. Everybody's clothing was their clothing they wore, and the clothes they covered themselves in the bed. Unto your neighbor, your friend, your brother. And then it says to come in. Bah. That's Calvin's infinitive construct, by the way. And it says, when the sun comes in, ha-shemash. Now, the word ha-shemash there means basically east. The sun. The sun comes up in the east, doesn't it? It goes down in the west. And the ha-shemeshma there, it means basically east. When the sun goes down, it says, you shall keep on bringing him back to him, the garment. You shall keep on doing this. Now look at what it says. Second person masculine, hifel, imperfect. And then third person masculine, singular, suffix there. You shall keep on bringing back to him his garment. Don't you dare keep his garment after dark. These are some real rules that I think big business and all these corporations today and the banking industry need to read this a little bit. Verse number 26. Ki hi kesatha levadok hi semaloto liaro Bameh, Yishkov, Wihaya, Ki, Itchuk, Ile, We, Shamti, Ki, Chanon, Ani. Because, or for, that little word ki there, that's a little conjunctive. Page 473 in Brown Driver and Briggs, by the way. Then we have a little third-person pronoun here, he, or he. Kesatha, his covering. You took the man's covering. You took the man's clothing. You took the man's house over his head. It all talking about the same thing here now. Levadak. Levadak. Only. He, it, simlatol, his wrapper, simlatol. Say that word, simlatol. That's your J.C. Penney suit right there. There's your wrapper. That's your prom dress or whatever you want to call it, your clothing, your wrapper. The wrapper for his skin. The wrapper for his skin, the skin of him. That is a dative singular for his skin. And it's in the, actually in the genitive, also in the back, in the suffix there. That little preposition lameth in the front of that, li aro, li means four or two. Ba me, in what? In what? Ma. Ba, there, that's Baith. That's page 88. And then ma, ma means what? Mana, mana means what is it? Mana is what is it? So that's in what? Yishk Kov. He keeps on lying down. Third person masculine senior, Cal imperfect. He keeps on lying down. And he shall have become, that third person master singular, cal while consecutive perfect. He shall have become when? When he lies down, he's going to cry out because he's going to be cold. Huh? This old boy is going to be cold. His wrapper is gone. You have taken his wrapper. You have taken his goods. He keeps on crying out. Now this word yitchik here. Yitchik means to laugh and to, means to cry. It means to make love. It means to kiss. It means all of this thing. But it also means to kiss sorrow. To be acquainted with sorrow. Because he keeps on crying out. He keeps on crying. Elay unto me. Little preposition there with a suffix. El with a suffix. Elay. To me there, that's a that is a preposition with a suffix. We shamti. And I shall have become, or I shall have heard. I shall have heard. First person construct singular, cal, wow, consecutive, perfect. I shall have heard. Ki, because. The little conjunction, again, page 473. And I shall have become chanum. Chanum means gracious. It means forgiving. It means to have compassion. Ani. I shall have compassion. I shall be gracious. The word in Greek is charis. 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 We got a word charisma out of that also. Now let's go to verse number 27. Elohim lo tik halel we anasi. Be amika, lo toor. Elohim. Elohim. That means the triune God, and also can mean people, powerful people. Elohim not. You shall keep on looking down upon, tikhalel. You shall keep on looking down upon. Second person masculine singular, PL imperfect. PL is intensely, that means derogatorily looking upon somebody. Because you can take advantage of them. Look down on them because you can take advantage of them. To mistreat people so you can take advantage of them. It means a bully. Don't bully people. And prince, we anasi. And we and a prince. Among your people. Not you shall keep on cursing. The prince among your people. You shall not keep on cursing. What is a prince among these people? That's one of the leaders. That's one of the leaders of the nation of Israel. That is this prince, this leader, this priest, judge. You shall not keep on cursing him, because I'm going to tell you something. I put him there, and he better be doing what I told him to do when I put him there, or I'll kill him. Isn't that what he said? I'll kill you. I will make orphans out of your children. I will make widows out of your wives. You do what I tell you, or you're a dead boy, a dead duck. Mi liatika, we dimka, lo tiacher, bikor, badnika, tatin. Lo, your abundance, your overflowing abundance here, your produce that you have, mile atika, and your juice, we dimka. That word juice, that's like gigantomatos teson plu in Greek, the fruit of the vine. All of the fruit from your vines, all of the wine that you have. Not you shall keep on tearing him during or delaying him. God says, I gave you all of this, and you give back to me. You give back to me with great gusto, because I gave to you. You give to me. You shall not delay. Second person masculine singular, PL imperfect. You shall not delay your offerings to God. Bikor. Bikor, that means, it means to break. It means to break. Bikor. When a woman has a child. The firstborn son basically was considered God's. The firstborn broke her womb open. That's what it means. The firstborn of a goat breaks the womb open. The firstborn of a sheep breaks the womb open. The firstborn of a cow breaks the womb open. Now God says, I gave you the cow, and the firstborn of that cow is mine. I gave you the goat. I gave you the sheep, and the firstborn of the sheep is mine. The firstborn of the goat is mine. It's mine. Think about that for a minute. You went out and you bought yourself a Jersey cow. And you're going to start a little one-cow dairy. Okay? Or you got yourself a Holstein. And you want to start yourself a dairy. And the first calf that this cow has is God's. Now God allowed you to get the cow. And you did get milk out of her and so on and so forth. Now, by faith, and I'm not talking about this faith promise stuff and prosperity gospel, that is not the gospel. We're talking about your relationship between you and God. You need to give God your produce. You need to give to God. That's what it says here. Remember Him and don't delay doing it. Do it. Every time I preach on giving, I usually get checks in the mail, thank goodness. I'm not talking about giving to me or whatever. You can do that, fine. That's good. God will honor that. But give to God what is His. Everything you have is God's. You sometimes are reminded that when you are a near miss in a car accident and it's real bad. And you see somebody lost their life, or maybe they've been disabled for a life. They're going to be spend the rest of their life in a rest home or a convalescent hospital or assisted care living. And it was like that. It happened. As an example, an illustration, a week ago, we had AC put in our house, air conditioner unit, not cooler, but AC. It's a lot cleaner and better for my lungs and Marilyn's lungs. She has COPD. I have asthma. And costs a little bit more, electricity, but it's better for us in our elderly age. We had people come out to do this job, and it wasn't done right the first day, and I smelled gas, and I asked this boy there, and I said, did you check for leaks? He said, oh, don't have to, it's everything's fine. I said, I got a bottle in there to spray, check for leaks, everything's fine. They sent a man out the next day, and he did some improvements on their kind of somewhat slipshod, shoddy installation. Not bad, but there were some improvements to make. He did not catch the gas leak. My friend was here. This was Wednesday when they put it in. So we had Wednesday night. We had Thursday night. Both nights I was hurting so bad. When I get up in the morning, I'd have muscle cramps. I was coughing. I had a busting headache. Muscle spasms all over. Just horrible sickness, diarrhea, everything. I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, after you get smelling that gas for a while, you don't smell it anymore. Well, my friend came in on Friday morning. I was cooking breakfast. I'm cooking in this house. And the house is full of propane gas. Now I'm going to talk about, I mean, this is an illustration how fragile your life is. I'm cooking breakfast on a propane stove, and the house is full of propane. My friend walked in. He said, Jim, I think there's a propane leak out there in the washroom, which is right behind this wall. And so he said, I'll watch this. You go see what's going on. I went in and took everything apart. I got a spray bottle out. I called one of the technicians on the phone, and I was spraying, and all of a sudden I got to a connection where a flex line was hooked onto, and it had a beveled, what we might call, compression fitting. It blew out. It wasn't even tight at all. It wasn't even hand tight. I screwed it down like that. I shut that gas off real fast. I'm going to tell you something. I can't tell you what I felt like right then. I just felt like I should have been dead, because I should have been dead. I had poisoning in my body, and I didn't know if I was going to live with it or not. I called, and I had to go to Goldfield and Tonopah that day to drive over there to take care of business. And when I got back, I called the technician, came to the house. He went underneath the house. He went every place and checked for leaks, because this is extremely dangerous. The house should have blown up sky high. It should have been on the worldwide news. I was very ill with propane poisoning. He checked everything out, and he said everything's all right. We put the cooler on in the house. But every 2 or 3 hours since that time, I'll see, like, smell like I'm smelling propane, and I have this hair standing on the end almost feeling. My life was almost over. Marilyn was on oxygen, so she was somewhat protected from the propane poisoning. But if this house would have blown up, it had 60 to 75 gallons of propane loose in this house. That's a lot. This is a miracle. When you walk by and you see somebody, or you just barely miss an accident that could have killed you, and you look back and you see how fragile life is. Life is fragile. I think all the animal sacrifices that God required of these Jewish people here, I think it wanted to show them the fragile life, how fragile life is. And these animals were innocent. I went and had blood tests to see if I have permanent damage from this or how much. We checked everything out. We made sure no other lines were leaking. This is scary, people. Life is fragile. Life is fragile. And when you've been on a near miss like this, it makes you, there's a bell that rings and said, wake up. Look how fragile life is. Look how fragile it is. These people now, God says, you shall give me your abundance. You shall give me a tithe of your wine. Your ganamophthys taison plu, your fruit juice. And every animal that's born, the firstborn is mine. And I'll make sure you have a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth born, but you got to trust me right now. You got to take this one calf back and you got to give it to God. Of course, we don't live under that law today as far as giving the animals. But your income, yes. The firstborn of your sons, first of all, of your own children. You're going to, when you have a firstborn son from this wife or that wife or whatever, you shall give an offering for that firstborn. The firstborn is mine. Your firstborn child is my firstborn child because I'm going to give my firstborn child to you in Jesus Christ in the future. See? The story is telling. God called for Abraham to give his firstborn son as a sacrifice to him. And then he showed him the sacrifice. That lamb in the thicket stood for Jesus Christ. You shall give me a firstborn of your sons. And you shall keep on giving. Third person, second person masculine, singular, cow imperfect. To me. A little preposition there with a suffix. Dative singular. Verse number 29 now. Ken ta ase lichka rika letsamika shavot yamim yiga. Imo Bayom Hashimenim Hashimenim Titinu Li. In this very way, kin there, that word kin there, that's a little like a particle. In this very manner, you shall keep on making. Second person masculine singular, cal imperfect. That comes from Asaf, the root is. Page 793 and Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 889 and Kohler and Bumgardner. Li Chorika. With your oxen, you shall do this with your oxen. These are your big animals. Li Chorika. With your oxen. And to your flock, Let Sonika. And to your herds, Shavuot, 7 days. Now, when a mare, a donkey, a lamb, or a goat, all of these little animals that are born to the mothers, God loves them too. You will leave all of these little offspring with their mothers for 7 days. Seven is the number of completion, isn't it? If you'll realize that when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, it was a multiplication of sevens. A multiplication of sevens. A chicken egg will hatch after 21 days, 3 times 7. Your gestation period of anything is sevens. Yeah, you shall keep on becoming third person masculine singular, masculine singular, cal imperfect. That's from Hayah. Yeah. And an M as a with his mother. You shall leave him with his mother. Imo. Bayom, during the day, and the eighth day, you shall keep on giving him to me. You shall keep on giving him to me. It died. It died. You know, we all die. All of our pets die. Down on the farm down there, we have a pet cemetery, a big pet cemetery, don't we, Marilyn? That covers 70-something or 80 years, I guess. Huh? Probably 80 years. Everything dies except God and His promises. Everything dies. I wrote a little book called My Daughter's Big Sister. And the lady read that the other day. She had it for about a year. And she read it. She said, I want to punch you. I love that book. It just touched my heart. But everybody died. I said, everybody dies. Everybody dies. We all die. But when we die, we ought to remember there's another life after this one. Another life after this one. Verse number 30 now, in the last verse in this chapter, we anshi, Gadesh, Tihyum, Li, Avarsa, Basadeh, Terifah, Lo, Tokilu, Lakiliv, Tash, Li-kun. Otho. And men, holy. Separate. You shall keep on becoming. I want you to live your lives, he says, and these are talking about the priests and the sons of Israel. I want you to live your lives that you keep on becoming to me. To me, a barsar and flesh, in a prairie, in a field, in a meadow, torn in pieces, not, ye shall keep on eating. When something dies in the field, when it was killed by another animal, or it died of some problem, you know, cattle die and sheep die and goats die sometimes of bloating. And if they die of bloating, they die of hernias or whatever else, you don't eat them. There's poisons in their system. You don't eat them. And dogs are pretty tough creatures, aren't they? Kine, the dogs. You give it to the dogs because they got a digestive system, can almost eat anything. Like Maryland. To the dogs, li ke liv, tash lekun, and you shall keep on throwing it. Second person masculine plural, hifel, imperfect. Otho, to him. You know, I've been pretty hungry in my life. I grew up eating spoiled food almost every day. I didn't have baby food when I was a baby. I never was able to even nurse my mother. I went on milk to some extent. And some of it wasn't good. And I think maybe immediately I began to eat beans. But some of those beans were, we didn't have a refrigerator. You cooked two or three gallons of beans and you warmed it up every day. And that's all you had, but you had to warm it up and make it boil every day. I'll tell you something. If I'd have seen a dead fish or a dead frog or something, we might have eaten it. If I saw a fresh roadkill, it would have been hard not to eat it. I'm telling you the truth. People today don't know that type of poverty in this country. It's hard to understand. But God said, I don't care how hungry you are, don't eat it. It's profane, and I want you to be holy. Our Father, we send this message out of your statutes, of your love for us, of your demand for justice. Father, please use it throughout the world. Honor and glorify yourself with it. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And help others see the necessity of your Son dying for them. Because He is the only thing that's going to get them to heaven.